the called out ones of God are coming into a new era of manifest presence and power.
Yes.
I said, after I got the notes and I had finished them, they had been typed up and were ready. I went through them last night before going to bed. First thing this morning, I got up and went through them again. And as I was going through the notes, the Lord said, the called out ones, the ecclesia of God, are coming into a new era of manifest presence and power. Start expecting your blessing today. Start calling your blessing in. I'm a child of God and blessings overtake me. I'm an heir and joint heir with the anointed Redeemer. Abundance awaits me. Don't let the world shape you into its stupid image. Well, if it was raining soup, I'd be outside with a fork. Shut up, fool. It happens to everybody else, but it never happens to me. That's because you have erected an anti-blessing fence with the words of your mouth. No, Vicki, we got to start going. If anybody's getting anything from God, I'm getting it. I'm going to get me some. And then I'm going to get me some more. And then I'm going to get me some more. Because I am at least three times through the line kind of person. Don't tell me there's hot dogs aplenty. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We're talking today just both on standing in the gap and standing in the gap with kingdom power. You've got to see yourself as a kingdom of God representative. Raymond's got to look himself in the mirror in the morning and say, I am an heir and joint heir with the anointed Redeemer. Friday's got to get up in the morning, and as he's shaving his face, he looks in the mirror and he goes, I am an heir of all the abundance of God. Blessings are hunting me down. Damon's got to, you know, he pulls up to a stoplight. I'm stuck here for 60, 70 seconds anyway. He flips down the sun visor. He pops open the shade so he can see the mirror. Lights come on and he's in the spotlight. So he takes his cue and he says, you're en route to another blessing.
Amen.
Puts the sun visor back up, waits for the green light, because I am on go.
That's it.
Pastor, you talk crazy. No, I don't, church. I talk a language of faith. My God supplies all of my need.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, you know, it happens to some people, but it doesn't happen to my kind. What? You're a God can't bless me kind? What? I expect God to do exceeding abundant above and beyond all I can ask or comprehend. My God does good things. Every day and every way, He makes me better. Sin, sickness, disease, fear, doubt, unbelief, lack have no place in my life. God said, I am the prophet of my future. And I am not going to prophesy gloom, despair, and misery on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Curse that and cast it all down, because I am not a hee-haw person. I'm a he-lives person.
Amen.
Church, I've seen the impossible become possible. I've seen death, and yet I live. I've seen curses and all kinds of things. If we went back and reviewed my life, there's at least a dozen times I should have been dead, and a few times they said I was. But God said, I'll live and not die.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And I've watched so many people overcome sickness, disease, fear, doubt, unbelief, and captivity that I want to tell you this. I have no sad stories to tell. The blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow.
Amen.
Now, how much rich comes into your life is determined by this little gate right here. This little gate right here determines how blessed you are. So get it trained. James says, the book of James, the other James would probably say it too, but the book of James says, if you can train your tongue, you can train your whole body. My tongue has been trained to do tricks. It makes the devil sit up and beg. In response to the question, are you? You notice the word you is underlined? There's a reason. In my notes, it's not only underlined, it's highlighted in red. In response to the question, people asking Yeshua, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel? You see, they wanted the kingdom, but they only wanted it for our kind. Look around you. Now, be sure your eyes don't lock when I say anything, but in this auditorium, there is tall and altitudinally challenged individuals. In this auditorium, there are thin people and there are calorically enhanced people. In this auditorium, there are age-anticipating people and age-qualified people. In this auditorium, there are masculine and feminine-looking individuals. There are some good-looking people, and then there's some of us. There are people of different shades. There's people that is white, pink, and very white. There's people that is black, brown, and high yellow. And there's people that is more of a Latin persuasion. We need to pray in some Asians because we lacking in the yellow flavor. But when you look around this congregation, what do you see? People of all different varieties and backgrounds, but all of them with the same stamp on their pass, heaven bound, family of God, child of the King, redeemed of the Lord. You see, I see a sick thing going on in the church today, Teresa. There's a whole lot of churches where they're trying to get back to their Jewish roots. That's a doctrine of demons. Well, Pastor, we got to keep the feast days. Maybe you got to, but I've been born again. Well, Pastor, God said to a group of people for a specific purpose to point them towards the Redeemer. But God said, if I keep one aspect of the law, I'm a debtor to keep it all. So, hon, I eat shrimp. I eat clams, shellfish. And, hon, don't you barbecue a mess of elk and not invite me. Because I'm not going to examine the hoof before I eat it. Elk is good. I used to barbecue elk on the patio, and it are good. In fact, if you got a rack of honey barbecued ribs, I will dine on swine. Why? My Bible says under my covenant that anything, that's received with thanksgiving is holy and nothing to be denied except steamed oysters. Not going there. Are you Messiah? Are you Lord? Are you King Jesus? Restoring the kingdom to Israel. The anointed Redeemer responded, but you shall receive power at the coming of the Holy Spirit upon you. You will restore the kingdom to earth. Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, not in Israel. But the devil is trying to stick that heinous doctrine back in of Israel worship. No, I worship the God of Israel, not Israel.
Right.
And I don't keep the law because, hon, you can't live like that.
Right.
Mark chapter 16. In my name, again, one of the sacred cows that foolish religious people have, I can pray anything as long as I say, in Jesus' name, because that makes it a legal prayer. No, that's a mess of stupidity. If you're not praying a promise of God, you aren't praying. And God made sure you understood there's a promise that covers everything that pertains to life and godliness. That by praying those promises, you become a partaker of the divine nature. You're in agreement with God. Now, you can agree with Sister Bucketmouth that, you know, Brother, you know, Ugly Nostrils is going to marry you. And you'll probably stay single the rest of your life. But if you agree with God on touching anything, you got it. Well, what's the difference? One, I go to God and I say, God, you said it's not good that man should be alone. In case you haven't noticed, by all appearances, when I stand in front of a mirror, I only see one image. Therefore, I call upon you and your word to be performed in my life. It's not your will for me to be alone in this image. So from now on, I'm standing to the side of the mirror so there's room for another image. Because you're bringing into my life the person you would have me. I ain't accepting Mr. Right now. I want Mr. Right. Because them left-wing people is crazy. Yeah, he's at it again. In my name. That means for the purpose of redeeming. Well, I want that new car because I want it. Oh, no, 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 no. God gave the knowledge for that beautiful piece of equipment to be created. It was the knowledge of God that caused that thing. God didn't intend no pimp to be driving that fine ride. God didn't intend no gambler, no dealer, no dope-smoking fool to be driving that. God intended that thing for me. Therefore, fine thing, come to me, because it is written, he will withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly. Daddy God, I'm on two. I am upright, and I want me. In my name, for the purpose of redeeming. Daddy God, ain't right I should drive by that mansion and smell funny weed coming out the house. That house should be a believer's house. The earth and the fullness are yours, Daddy. I want me some fine house. Determine where you want to be. Pick a neighborhood. Then drive through that neighborhood and wait for the Spirit to tell you, that's my house. And then lock in on it and say, Father, I thank you for my new house. That house right there, 512 Blessing Avenue. Now, those of you who know Blessing Avenue, you know there ain't no house on that street. She won't. So I just use that for an example. I've been down Blessing Avenue, and I went, you've got to be kidding me. If there's a blessing on this street, it's a ticket out. Now, if you live on Blessing Avenue, in my name, Redeemer, for the purpose of redeeming or bringing into the kingdom of God, demons they shall cast out. That's a strike against the kingdom of darkness. With new tongues they shall speak. That's a growth in the kingdom. Serpents they shall take up. That's casting out the works of darkness. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. That's both. I'm overcoming the power of darkness, and I'm walking in divine health. Even poison can't touch me. Say it with me. Poison can't touch me.
Poison can't touch me.
Now, see, you just covered yourself in case you were going to stop at Home Depot and get a free hot dog. Got that covered. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And on the ailing they shall lay hands, and they shall be well. Literal Greek, hands they shall lay, and well they shall be. Kingdom building, provision, and ability is in this. Philippians 4:13, Young's translation. For all things I have strength in Christ strengthening me. For all things I have strength in Christ strengthening me. Gospel according to Jim. I can do all things through the anointing which infuses me with divine ability.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is the rule of God made manifest in earth's functions. God wants Roger to interject in the very normal course of life a kingdom hand so that you stop a situation that shouldn't be and release a situation that should. So that in the course of your life, Tara, you step into a situation, and when you step in, God has showed up. Well, Pastor, I encountered a horrible situation this week. Did you release peace into it? Did your entrance to that situation change the atmosphere of what was going on? Church, you can walk in a realm where people can sense it when you walk in the room. I have walked into a room where there were witches present, and as I walked in the door, I saw them turn their backs to me and continue to turn their backs to me as I walked through the room so they didn't have to look at me. Why? They knew I was there. But I've walked into rooms full of believers, and very few of them recognized me. You should be so spiritually sensitive that you know when another believer walks in the room.
Yes.
And you just walk right up to him. I don't know who you are, but I know you're one of us. Why? Because you have trained your senses to discern both good and evil. You can recognize them without them opening their mouth. And it ain't because you saw the bumper sticker on their car. Because most of them bumper stickers are lying anyway. The kingdom of God is the rule of God made manifest in earth's function. So every time you cast out a demon, every time you heal the sick, every time you raise the dead, every time you destroy a work of Satan, you're establishing an outpost of kingdom authority. Suzanne, there is no place you can't establish God's authority in the earth. Matthew 6:10. Young's translation says, your reign come. I know the King James says, your kingdom come. But the kingdom of God is the rule of God, the reign of God. It's not a church. It is a system of operation that is to saturate the entire earth. Your kingdom come. your will come to pass, as in heaven, so also in earth. Praying the word ensures you're heard. So a lot of people say, I pray the Lord's Prayer every day. And all they've done is show you how ignorant they are of the Lord. But there is a church denomination that teaches their people to every day pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Some of them can do it in under 18 seconds. They're on speed praying. But church, there ain't no Lord's Prayer.
Right.
Well, Pastor, I'm more enlightened. I know it was the disciples' prayer. No, it wasn't the disciples' prayer. It was an outline of how to pray.
Right.
He was telling you what matters in your prayer. Establish God as Lord, our Father. I'm in this. We're family. We blood. Go, God. Our Father, which art in heaven, the ruling position of all the universe. I ain't talking local call here. I'm talking universal call. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does it mean to be hallowed be thy name? Your name is a sacred thing, and I'm not using it lightly. I'm not God this and God that and God something else. Our Father, which art, hallowed be your name, Jehovah, Lord of hosts. Because your name ain't God. Your name is Jehovah, Lord of hosts. And your name is holy to me because your name made me a part of that host. Your kingdom come. What is God's ultimate will? Well, he wants to save you from your sins. No, 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 no. He wants to establish his kingdom in the earth. Because in the beginning, he was establishing his kingdom through man. So God is not as concerned about you getting saved as he is about you getting hooked up with his will and plan and purpose. Because it doesn't say, hallowed be thy name. Forgive us of our sins. Don't let us go to hell. Snatch us from Satan's grip. Keep me from doing what I really want to do. No, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What's the most important thing to God? My salvation. No, no, no. His kingdom being established. Now, if you're going to cooperate with that, then you become important. But your importance is not directly to God, but to his purpose in the earth.
Amen.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. Because if your will is done, everything is taken care of. I don't have to pray about my health, my wealth, my joy, my peace. If your will is done, I'm fixed. So many people want to start with, our Father, give us this day our daily bread. And a little extra because it might rain tomorrow. But if you understand his will is being done, there won't be a day when I don't have bread. If I understand his will being done, there won't be a day when I'm without scratch. Hon, I got so much scratch, I don't even itch anymore. You'll get that before you get too far down the line. I'll never be broke another day in my life. Why? I realize this. If I am praying for God's will to be done in the earth, he'll see to it that I'm paid and paid well.
Yes.
Your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And help me keep my head on straight. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver. When you're praying that prayer, it's an outline of how to pray. It's not a prayer you pray every day. It's an outline for prayer. It's a teaching tool of how you should pray and what should be your attitude of the prayer. What's the most important thing in your prayer? Well, getting a raise. No, no. The most important thing in your prayer is establishing him as Lord in the earth. Establishing his lordship in every area, and there won't be any wants. We don't have to pray about famines, plagues, all that stuff. If His will is being done, what is God's will in the earth?
Same as heaven.
No. You know this answer. What is God's will in the earth? When there was no sin, when there was nothing to overcome, nothing to counter, what was God's will in the earth? He planted a garden, put His man in the garden He planted, and said, make the earth like this. What is God's will? For us to live in a state where we don't even need clothes. Because we are in a state where clothes don't really matter. His glory clothes us. To live in a state where we don't have to get a job at the factory because the food is plentiful. There ain't no stickers so we can go barefooted. There ain't no briars or thorns on the roses. God's will is a place where we don't even need rain. It didn't have to rain in the garden, yet everything was watered. They had no need, and there was such harmony and peace that every day God could come in the cool of the day and they could chat, walking and talking with God. Now imagine you walk along and apricot. Yeah, you know, God? Let's take a pineapple break. You know, God, I was just thinking, why don't we walk over there by them big, juicy red apples and keep talking? You know, we have gotten so religious that we have stories in the Bible. But when God's will was perfectly done, man lived in a realm where there was no want, no need, and no lack. Imagine earth being so friendly, Judith, that you could at any time, any day, stop, and wherever you stopped in the garden, you could rest and relax and refresh. Now, you know how you was when you was a kid, and you could find that tall, soft grass, and Patsy, you could just lay down in that grass, kick back and look up at the sky and watch the clouds, and you was at peace and you was home. You didn't have to worry about nothing. Because in your young innocence, you hadn't come to grips with all of life's demands. Right. But imagine life was just like that.
Right.
When you read Genesis, it's not there to tell you once upon a time. It's there to go, this is God's will. God created a place that was so abundant and plentiful, there was no need, no lack, no fear, no worry, and no devil.
Amen. Glory to God. Yes, sir.
No opposition.
And man would have had no problems had he not listened to anyone other than God. If you want to be right in every situation of life, pray the promises of God. This is the confidence that we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Well, that's the hard one, Pastor Jim, knowing what His will is. No, it's not. His will is health.
Amen.
With His stripes you're made whole.
Mm-hmm.
His will is wealth. He became poor that you might become rich. His will is life. I am come that you might have life and have it in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
His will is joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
His will is peace. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives peace, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. You see, the will of God is simple if you'll just read the New Covenant. So whatever I need, and my God shall supply all your need. God, you got me a new job. It's across town. Now, if you haven't noticed, God, I'm not really bus people. And a train don't really go by this job. So what I need is transportation. Now, I know it's not your will for me to be broke down on some street corner. So you want me to have a good one. In fact, the works that you did should I do, and you had yourself a ride that ain't nobody owned before. I mean, when you wanted to ride, you said, get me a ride, ain't nobody rode before. So you must want me to have a new car. You don't want me to have something used up. They always leave that word off at the car lot, don't they? It says used, but they leave off up. Used up cars. Pastor, you're being silly. No, I'm not, church. If God was here, what would he drive? Brian's singing Bugatti, Veyron. Because his chariot moves at the speed of light, and Veyron is about the closest thing at the speed of light. Understand this, church. Religion has defiled our minds to where we can't think like God anymore. Did you know that if God was here, he wouldn't be a bridge builder? Why build a bridge when you can enjoy a walk across the lake? I had someone try and tell me, well, God is a bridge builder. And I went, why? He walks on the water. And this is the confidence we have before him. Church, I want you to get this. You can't stand in the gap between God and man until you understand that I can have confidence. Standing boldly in God's presence, I come boldly before the throne of grace that I might obtain help at the opportune moment. And I come boldly because I'm asking according to his will. Father, it's your will for so-and-so to be healed. Therefore, I stand before you this day, and I agree with your word. With his stripes, they were healed. Therefore, Satan, I deny you access to them. You foul spirit of infirmity, I curse you. Quit praying. Oh, God, heal them. Oh, God, please heal them. God, if you don't heal them, they're going to die. Some people pray like they're helping you pick out a coffin. I mean, no, curse that spirit of error. You foul spirit of infirmity, I curse you with the name. Well, Pastor, I don't want to offend them. Well, hon, if they're that easily offended, you shouldn't be praying for them anyway. But every sickness is of the devil. Understand that right up front. Every sickness is of the devil. If there wasn't no devil, wouldn't nobody be sick? Is there sickness in heaven? So it's not God's will for some people to be sick. God's not teaching some people sickness because in heaven there's not a remedial learning room where all the sick people are till they learn something. Can you believe this asininity that some churches preach and teach? Well, God put that on them to teach them something, nope. To humble them. Nope. Then when you get to heaven, look for the sick room. Yeah. Because there's got to be a few folks out there need a lesson or two. No, church. Every sickness is of the devil. Every sickness is either a response to the devil or the devil's response to them. They opened an area to Satan through unbelief, fear, doubt, worry, torment, sin. Or the devil is trying to stop them from doing God's will by impeding their progress through infirmity. But if there is sickness present, the devil is at work. So don't be bashful about it. Just walk right up to him, Judas. Lay hands on him and say, you foul spirit of infirmity, I curse you with the name and the blood of the Lamb. Well, Pastor, you know, I don't really want to hurt their feelings. That's why ain't nobody getting healed you pray for. Lord, look down and in your tender mercy, reach to this poor sister who's beset by this infirmity. And if thou wilt, let her experience feeling somewhat better. No. He didn't say pray for the sick. He said heal the sick. If you have to bring God to heal them, there must be some ungod there to make them sick. One more time. If you have to bring God to the situation, there must be some ungod there that needs to be dealt with. So just boldly, if anybody, is there any sick among you? Let them pray the prayer of faith. What's the prayer of faith? Lord, we're believing you're going to heal them. There's no faith in that. That is a prayer of unbelief. Because it denies God's word that said, with his stripes they were healed. I curse this lie that's trying to trespass on God's blood-bought property. You foul, lying spirit of infirmity, cease and desist in all your operations and go from them. Now you're praying the word. But when you pray, Lord, please. Lord, could you? Lord, would you? Lord, if there's any way. There is a way. It's called It Is Written. And any other way is of the devil. And a whole lot of church folks is more of the devil than they are of God. God and his word are one. How do I have confidence? I pray his word. And we know that if he hears us, because we're praying his word, in whatever we ask, we know that we have Mark 11:24. And when you pray, believe right then that you receive. Not believe that it's going to happen. Not believe that it can happen. Not believe that there's a better chance now of it happening than not happening. No. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked of him because we ask in agreement with it is written. Now to James 1:22. But prove yourselves doers. Doers is not just a good scotch. So this is not an exhortation to have you a couple of hits with your prayer. Be ye doers of the word. No. Be ye doers of the word and not merely hearers. If you hear the word, with the stripes you were healed, do it. Amen. Don't just hear it. If you hear the word, my God will supply all of your needs according to the living standard of heaven. Be a doer of having your needs supplied rather than just a hearer that it's possible. Because you delude yourself when you hear that it's possible but don't believe that it's probable. To be a doer of the word, you declare the word. You release the word. You empower the word to function on your behalf. Do the word, pray the word, be the word. Messiah was the word walking, talking, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. What does that mean? Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, was the word walking and the word talking, and in every situation he did what the word would do in that situation. And then he told us, I do nothing on my own initiative. I do only what I've heard of the Father. I do only what the Holy Spirit leads me. Who wrote the entire New Testament? The Holy Spirit. So to do what the Spirit says is to do the word. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. But how do you live? How do I get my electric bill paid? The word of God. How do I get my kids protected? How do I get my friends healed? I apply God's word to everything because there's a promise in your new covenant that covers your bills, that covers your health, that covers your lost loved ones. Daddy God, it's written right here that if I believe and I'm baptized, me and all my house will be saved. Therefore, from this point forward, I'm going to praise you that all of my blood kin are born again. Amen. Well, Pastor, you know, I've got a couple of relatives that they're really Are you building a fence around God that, God, you can't work here because I don't believe it's possible? Only your unbelief can keep God out of your family. I said only your unbelief can keep God out of any situation in your life. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What should I be looking for? Everything God said directly through His Son or through His prophets. Believe His prophets and so shall you prosper. Jesus replied to him, "It is written, and forever remains written, man shall not live by bread alone." Face to face with the devil, our Lord is speaking the word. Why? Because He knew the word would defeat the devil. Ding, 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 ding. Revelation. Jesus knew the word would fight His battles for Him.
Yes, sir.
Jesus knew the word would defeat the devil. So He quoted the word and stopped the devil.
Mm-hmm.
How do I stop the devil in my life?
Same way.
I speak the word.
Yes, sir.
I pray the word. I quote the word. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. So He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. In fact, the word manna means, what is it?
Yeah.
So next time you're having a sandwich, go, I'll have a little turkey, a little cheese, put it between a couple of slices of what is it? That He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Manna was not enough to produce life, but the word was more than enough to produce manna. The word was more than enough to produce prevailing over their enemies. The word was more than enough to produce God's presence in time of need. The word of God in your mouth is your victory. The word produces miracles. Miracles testify to the word that produced them. The word of truth in your mouth is power to perform. When you say, "It is written," hell stops and heaven stands up. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. Stop for a second. James, you know, a lot of people read this and they read over it. But I want you to notice what it said. But the word is very near you. The word is in your mouth. The word is in your heart that you may observe it. Yes, Pastor Jim, I'm going to make sure I keep the word. No, no, no. What does observe mean? I don't want you to ever read this verse the same way. If you observe something, you became a what? A witness. A partaker of the event. You saw it happen. Now read this verse with me again. But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, so that when you speak it, you can see it happen. Well, Pastor, I thought it just meant that I could keep it. Well, then why didn't it say keep it? It says observe it. Well, Pastor, you know, observe means to keep. Only because religious people have made it that way. What does observe mean in every situation except that one religious connotation? But you see, can I keep with His stripes I was healed without being healed? So whether I'm keeping it to be healed or watching it to see people healed, He said, Nancy, the word is very near you. It's in your heart, not your blood pump, your heart, your belly, and it's in your mouth so you can see it happen. And thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and light shall shine upon your path. This is the way God works. I say it, it happens, I see it happen, and God has showed up. So let's read this together. But the word is very near me. It's in my mouth and in my heart so that I can see it happen. Suzanne, you need to speak God's word and then watch it happen. Scott, you need to speak God's word and then watch it happen. Well, Pastor, I like the other translation that you can observe it. Well, what does that translation mean? It means to keep it. How are you going to keep a word without performing it? Well, you know, I've got this promise. With his stripes I was healed. I wear it around my neck. I keep it real close right here. Never seen it happen. Can't prove that it's true, but I keep that word with me. Is that what God was saying to you?
No.
To keep the law does not mean to have a law book. When you say a person keeps the law, what do? They practice it. What do you call a law enforcement person? A law keeper. He keeps the law. But he enforces the law. He does what the law says. So however you address this verse, either I'm going to see the word performed right in front of me because I spoke it, or I'm going to perform it because that's what it's there for, to be performed. Because I can't keep the law without doing the law. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. The word must be in your heart. The word must be in your mouth. Then it becomes the word of faith. Faith is the ability to accept, align with truth. When your senses and your mind are telling you a different story. Romans 10 says, yes, Pastor Jim, this is the salvation formula. No, this is the healing formula. This is getting the bills paid formula. It all works the same way. I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth, and it gets done. But if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be brought to health, safety, soundness, wholeness, and deliverance. I get to salvation the same way I get to healing. I believe in my heart, I say it with my mouth. Because the word saved is translated as health, safety, soundness, wholeness, deliverance. How do I get somebody delivered? I believe God's word in my heart, and I say it with my mouth. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in right standing with God, and with the mouth he decrees, declares, confesses, and professes, resulting in the salvation needed taking place, whether it's health, safety, soundness, wholeness, or deliverance. You get it all with the word of truth in your mouth and in your heart with total dependence upon its absolute trustworthiness. The word applied to a lost life redeems it. The word decreed silences the devil. The word prayed heals. It's all the same. I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth what God has said, and what is contrary to what God said must change. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call. I got a call this week. Why didn't you go pray for someone? They didn't call me. Well, do they have to call you? Yes. There is some stupid religious mindset that pastors should just know and sense that I'm not feeling good and should rush over to pray for me. But the Word of God said, if you're sick, call for an elder. You call. I don't run around calling people. Does anybody need prayer over there? Just checking. No. You want prayer? Ask for it. You don't ask for it? I'm not going to force you to be blessed. Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, Redeemer. And prayer offered in faith. Not anything they pray will be heard. Prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And the word is so powerful that it works on healing the same way it works on salvation. They'll be healed, and if there's any sin, they'll be forgiven, because the same word that saves heals. The same word that heals saves, because salvation is of the Lord. And salvation means the rectification of anything that's not like God. The prayer of faith shall heal the sick, not any prayer you pray. I've got to pray the word, pray a prayer that lines up with God said for the sick to get well. Praying the prayer of faith relates to any test, any trial, any opposition in your life. Because he said, if you take up residence as to live in me, and my words take up residence as to live in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you, because you will only ask according to the word that's living in you. If his word is in you, you will not violate it in your words or in your deeds. And so the pre-qualifier is, if you abide, take up residence to live in me, and my word takes up residence to live in you, then you will become an expression of my word. You'll stand in the gap and make up the hedge between God and man, between God and that situation, and you will walk in kingdom power, because kingdom power is, it is written. Are we getting anything today, church? Understand this. God is waiting for you and his word to agree. One more time. God is waiting for you and his word to agree. When you and his word agree, God is already there. If any two are agreed as touching anything, I'm there. So if Nancy and God's word are in agreement, God's already there. In other words, the answer is already in play. Daddy God, your people are rising up in this new arena of your blessing. As they possess your abundance mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, in every realm of their life, Father, I decree a new day for the people of the house of the Lord. A day of your provision, a day of your abundance, a day of your overflow, a day wherein, Father, we harvest and reap the blessings of the Lord. Father, I thank you that everything that's owed us comes to us now. I thank you, Father, we suffer no lack in any region or area of our life. I thank you that you daily load us with blessings. You show unto us your loving kindness and your tender mercy, and we rejoice in the God of our salvation. Not just in salvation from sin, but salvation from sickness, from disease, from fear, from doubt, from worry, from torment, from lack, from fear, from frustration, from falling short. For Father, you save us in every area of our existence. By your word, you have set us free. By your word, you give us liberty. By your word, you empower us and anoint us to function in life as kings and priests unto God. Father, thank you that the eyes of the people under the sound of my voice are opened as never before to see clearly your truth and to observe your word in manifestation. And the people said,
amen.
You're loved, you're blessed, go with God.